Okay, we're starting here at the top of Pesayim and Aleph by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Shechat v'lo kisa. He did the Shechita, but he did not perform the Kisui Adam that he was supposed to perform. V'ro acher, someone else saw him do the Shechita and not cover the blood. Chayav l'chasot. This individual then becomes obligated in doing the Kisui Adam because he's aware of the fact that there's dam here that has not been covered. He must take care of that. Kisau v'nitgale. If you did a problem with Kisui Adam and then the blood was exposed afterwards, patur melechasot, then he doesn't have to go back and recover the dam. Kisau aruach, on the other hand, if it happened by itself, the wind blew over and covered it over, chayav lechasot, you're still obligated to cover it over. I have to explain in what circumstance that is. So Tan Rabbanan, v'shafach v'kisa. So here we're going to have a series of braitot that darshan the two main verbs that you have in Kisui Adam, which is ish b'mnei seo min agar agar b'tocham, sheyatsud tzed chaya o'ov, asher yeachel, then v'shafach et amo, v'kisa u'be'afar. So the shafach v'kisa, here we're going to have another braitot that doresh something from it. The first one is v'shafach v'kisa, mi sheshafach yichseh. That there's a connection between the one who does the Shvichat Adam, the Shvita, and the Kisui Adam. Shachat velo kisa. On the other hand, if someone does the Shvita, but then does not perform the Kisui Adam, v'ro acher minayim shechayav lechasot, and then someone else sees that, how do we know that he's also obligated to do Kisui Adam? Shneamar.
Va'omar livnei Yisrael.
Azara d'chol b'nei Yisrael.
The pasuk subsequent to the tzivui of Kisui Adam in the Torah says, "Ki nefesh kol basar damo b'nafshohu, v'omar libnei Yisrael, dam kol basar lo tochelu, ki nefesh kol basar damo hi kol ochlav yikareit." And therefore, the Gemara is focused on v'omar libnei Yisrael. That v'omar libnei Yisrael says, as a wrap-up to the previous statement in the Torah of Kisui Adam b'lechaya, that if it's not carried out by the b'shafach v'kisahu, then v'omar libnei Yisrael. Then Ovar Yisrael takes over, and anyone from Bnei Yisrael will then become obligated in taking care of the Kisui Adam.
And therefore, the whole Bnei Yisrael are obligated in this mitzvah, even though the particular Shochet has more connection or is more obligated in doing the Kisui Adam and really has the right of first refusal to do the Kisui Adam. Tan Yidoch, we have another Breito. Again, the same type of drush on these words, which is Shafach Kisa. That the vehicle that you use to do the shvicha, meaning your hand, that is what you have to use to cover over the dam. You shouldn't just kick the dirt over it. Because kicking over with your foot is derech bizayon. Makes it look like the mitzvah, something that you don't really want. You just want to kick it over. So no, rather you have to do kisui adam with your hands, just like you do shvicha with your hands. Tani yidach. Now third braita. Shafach v'kisa. Mi sheshafach hu yichasena. Same thing we had in the first braita, which is whoever does the shvichat adam has to also do the kisui adam. Masa bechad sheshachat. Person did the shchita. V'kadam chaviro v'kisa. And his friend jumped the gun and did the kisui adam. V'chayevo Rabbi Gamliel litet lo yud zehuvim. Rabbi Gamliel obligated him to pay 10 zehuvim because he stole the mitzvah. So he had compensated him for the fact that he had stolen his mitzvah. Now, why don't we just have him bring another bird, check another bird, check another chaya, and then allow him to do kisui adam? Why does he have to pay him? Tosavot claims, that he can't just give another bird to shecht and do the kisui adam. Dezot mitzvah acheret hi. It's not the same mitzvah. That's a new mitzvah. The mitzvah that was in front of him is mivot lo yichol litkon. Something that you can't correct. It's a mistake that has been made already. It's something that was stolen from him and cannot be returned or rectified. The only way to compensate is through monetary compensation. Thus, it does make a point here. What about today? Mew. Lo dainan hoshta lechaye vasara zuzim. Zuvim. We don't today do this. What happens when somebody steals a mitzvah today? Do we obligate them to do it? So the milta late bachir saran kis lo avdin and shluchu tayu. So the function of beitin today, or the ability to adjudicate cases, is based on the fact that the batei din in Eretz Yisrael empowered The Bati Dinim in Chutz La'aretz, Shlichutayu Ka'ovid. It's a concept that we do there Shlichut. But we only do there Shlichut when it comes to things that involve Chisaron Kis. Things that involve monetary loss. Over here, it's not a monetary loss. It's compensation for the taking of a mitzvah, but there's no absolute monetary loss. Gedemar Bechovel. V'chad shamad b'mkom chaviro l'kro b'torah. What happens if someone runs up and snatches an aliyah from someone else? Potor b'lav haitaima. Even without this reason that we don't adjudicate cases without chisaron kis, you don't have to compensate in that case. V'afilu tafas mafkina minha. Even if he grabbed it on his own, meaning that he exercised some vigilante justice, then nevertheless we take it back from him. Generally, when we have these types of cases where we do not adjudicate them for whatever reason, if he's tofes, if he grabs it on his own, we don't force him to give it back. But in this case, if he stole the aliyah from him, we do force him to give it back. Shom, duklam chayavim b'kriyat ha-Torah. It's not an individual's obligation to read the Torah, but rather the tzipor, and every individual is chayav in kriyat ha-Torah. Chen perish riva. Va'afilu amad bimkom kohen. Even if he stole the kohen's aliyah, where the kohen has precedence, because he says that we were doresh, ki dashto l'chol davar shebidusha, that the kohen goes first, l'vorech rishon, l'ftoach rishon is a smachtehi. It's not a din do, right? It's just a din derabonon, that we give so people won't fight. We give the kohen the first aliyah. So when you steal it, it's not like there's something particular you're taking from anybody else. It's something that we're all obligated. Everybody in the tzibur is chayav in kriyat ha-Torah, equally chayav in kriyat ha-Torah, and therefore if you jump in and take someone else's aliyah, you haven't done anything different than what would have been the outcome had you, someone else, taken the aliyah, because you all have to discharge your obligation here of kriyat ha-Torah. So Tosfot there explains two things. One is why we don't do this today, and number two is, even if in aliyah ba-Torah, it doesn't even come to this, because there's a ma'akev even before you get to this issue of not paying for mitzvah today, because we are equally obligated in the mitzvah. Whereas by the kisui adam, the person who does the shvichat adam has precedence. He does have the first mitzvah, the first right of refusal to do it, and therefore when it's stolen from him, there is a mitzvah being taken. Ibailuhu, schar mitzvah o schar bracha. When he paid up the yud zehuvim, is he paying for the mitzvah, or is he paying for the bracha that would have been made on the mitzvah? The main afkamino, the Birkat HaMazon. Birkat HaMazon, which is a single mitzvah, but includes four brachot. If you're talking about it's schar mitzvah, there's only one mitzvah being discharged in Birkat HaMazon, therefore it would only pay 10 zuvim. You have to buy 40, one for each of the four brachot that are contained within Birkat HaMazon. My, what's the din? Tashma. The amrle hahut stuki the rabbi. There was this tzduki that came to Rabbi, and he came to Rabbi that discussed some issues. Me, Shiatzar Harim, lo bara ruach. Whoever created the mountains did not create the wind. Me, Shibra ruach, lo yatzar harim. Whoever created the wind is not the same God that created the mountains. Dichtiv, because the pasuk in Amos says, ki hine yotzer harim uvorei ruach. And he uses two different verbs of creation. When it comes, once there's a Yotzer Harim, and there's also a Borei Ruach. There seem to be two different individuals. So Malay Shotet, Rabbi says back to him, you fool, shuffle the Sefer Dekra. Why don't you just finish the Pasuk off? It says, Hashem Tzfakot Shemo. It combines them. It says, who's the Borei Ruach and the Yotzer Harim? That's Hashem Tzfakot Shemo. It tells you that it's one person, one God that does it. Give me 3 days to think about it, and I'll come back to you. And I'll come back with a good question, a good answer to this. Yoti Rabbi Tlat Tanito. Rabbi sat for 3 days fasting. So when he came to the last day, or Mivrach, he sat down to eat his meal. And Amrulei Tzduki Kaya Bavo. It's just about he's sitting down to his meal after 3 days. And all of a sudden, knock, 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 he's at the door. They tell him, his family tells him, there's a tzduki at the door. Amar, so he says, v'itnu bevaruti rosh. Rosh spelled with an aleph there, not above. They put into my meal, into my mazon, rosh, poison and bitterness. Pare rosh v'lana, very good. I mean, I can't even eat in peace. He came back right at this time. So Amalei, Rabbi, mevaser tovot ani lecha. So when Rabbi went up to meet this stuki, turns out it wasn't this original stuki, but rather another stuki. So he says, I have good news for you. Lo matza tshuva, says he didn't find any answer to your question. Ve'echav nafal min agag, umet. And he fell off the roof and died. Well, that meant he fell natural causes, or he jumped off the roof. But anyways, he had no response for you, and now your enemy is dead. Why don't you come join me for the meal? We can have a little celebratory party here. He said, sure, no problem. After they ate and drank, says, do you want to drink the kosher bracha? Or do you want to take 40 zuz? So he was offering him one or the other. And Tosafot suggests over here, shtia lo sheikh al iskar bracha. He didn't, drinking has nothing to do with the bracha itself of Birkat HaMazon. They wrote to the Salkomi Birkat HaMazon. Rabbi wanted to distract him from being the Mivarech or doing Birkat HaMazon. Fishi at Stuki. He was at Stuki and everybody wanted to distract him. I don't know, from the latter part of the Gemara, it doesn't even sound like he was Jewish at all. But if he was Jewish or he was at Stuki, he was partially Jewish, Rabbi wanted to be away from Birkat HaMazon. So he kind of distracted him by offering, do you want to drink the kosher bracha? Or do you want to have 40 zuz? Just a note, Rashi says, Darvim zuhuvim skar arba brachot she'ana achareihem amen. That the skar of the four brachot, that you would answer amen afterwards. That Roman, that stuki, gave away, offered him 40 zuhuvim for the amens that would come after the brachot. Said, well, we would establish that it's the brachot themselves. Rashi says it's the amen that comes after the brachot. That's also part of the mitzvah that's involved over here. It's interesting day on Rashi. All right. So he answered him. He says, "Amar lo kosher bracha ani shote. I'd rather drink the kosher bracha." So yatz tabako v'amra kosher bracha yishave arba'im zehuvim. But going out and says, from this you see that a kosher bracha is worth 40 zuz because of the story. But what it relates to is back to us, which means that the kosher bracha, which involves four brachot, will therefore be equal to 40 zuz. Pay per bracha, not per mitzvah. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Adain shana lo tam mishpacha. Rabbi, adain yeshna lo tam mishpacha ben gdoli romi. There's still of this family amongst the aristocracy of Rome. Recurring otam mishpacha at Bar Lubianos. This Bar Lubianos family, because of the choice that this individual make to take the kosher bracha and not take the money, is an indication of their good intentions and that they would receive the bracha of the kosher bracha. And that bracha is that they were amongst the aristocracy of Rome and that family is still around, and that's what's being reported here by Rabbi Yitzchak. Tosafot again points out that why was it 40 zehuvim and not 50 zehuvim? Because you had the four brachot of Birkat HaMazon plus the bracha on their kosher bracha. It's a bori priya gofen on the kosher bracha, so there should be a fifth bracha and be 50 zehuvim. So the Tosafot says something interesting. He says, Yesh Lamar, the sover that Rabbi holds, like the mandamar, ain't zorech levarech hakasa de birkata. Chokas in Arvei Psachim, in Daf Kuf Gimel, actually relates back to our Gemara in yesterday's Daf, about the hefsek in a meal. The question of whether, when you say havlan and nevarech, is that considered to be a hefsek, and you have to make a new bracha rishono, or does that mean you have to say birkata mazon before you can go? Our Gemara here is paralleled by a Gemara in Psachim Kuf Gimel, which is actually dealing with this issue, about brachot and the yayim, toch ha-suda, and after the suda. So over there, there's a mandamar that you don't have to make a separate bori priya gofen for the kos birkat amazon. So he says he must hold like that shita, that there's no separate bracha but kosher bracha, and therefore there's only 40 zehuvim and not 50 zehuvim. But the answer to our question is, it's per bracha, not per mitzvah. Kisau v'nitzkale, if he covers over the dam and then it was exposed, so amale ravacha bre de rovo, the rav ashi, maishna miyashavet aveda. How is our pasuk, our mitzvah over here, different than a Shabbat Deviada? Damar mar, hashev, afilo mea pe'amim. Pasuk, it says, hashev, teshivim, multiple times, afilo mea pe'amim. Even 100 times you have to return the aveda, no matter how many times it comes out or how many times it's lost, there isn't some sort of cap or limit to how many times you do this mitzvah. So that's it, be'lu mitziot. It says, hashev, afilo mea pe'amim. Mashma, v'tishivim, afkina the drasha achrina. Tishivim, they use for another drasha. So achanami, why don't we say, v'kisa, the verb v'kisa should also be multiple times, because just from the word Hashev, we do it multiple times. Kisa should also be multiple times. Over there, it just says Hashev. Over here, it says V'chisahu. That it's not just V'chisa, but Kisahu. If I had just written Kisa, then we would think, yeah, you have to keep. It's a continuous mitzvah. It's something that you have to do over and over again. Kisahu is a miuta that it's Kisu Zeh Betulo. Kilo, it's Kisahu. Do this kisa and no more. That's how they're darshaning it. Rather than the word kisa, which would mean an everlasting mitzvah or a continuous mitzvah tamidit, that as long as it's exposed, you must keep covering it. Kisawa ruach, if it's covered by the wind, Amar Abba Barchan, Rabbi Yochanan, lo shanu elo shechazar v'nitgalet. Well, if it's covered by the wind, there's nothing for you to do anymore, so what are we talking about here? No, the case is where the wind blew over it, and then it was exposed afterwards, after the wind had covered it. So if it's exposed again, now you're obligated to cover it. But if it's not exposed again, then you can't do any kisui. What's the benefit of it being exposed anymore? The mitzvah was nidchet. There was a point in time where you could no longer do the mitzvah. So the mitzvah is nidchet. Once the mitzvah is nidchet, you can't come back and try to do the mitzvah once it's brought back into circulation and chiyuv is reestablished. Rapapa zotomeret ein dichuy etzel mitzvot. So Rapapa says that based on the statement of Rabbi Barchano and Rabbi Yochanan, we can conclude that there is no dichuy in mitzvot because the fact that the wind covered it over is not sufficient to remove the mitzvah or the chiyuv mitzvah from you. And when it's exposed again, you have to recover it. How's this different than the Braita? Shochet v'nivda adam v'karka. The person does shchita, the blood is absorbed into the ground, meaning that it's no longer exposed. Chayav l'chasot, you still have to cover it. So why not over here too? If the ruach covers it over, why don't you have to pile on top of that? It's like when the blood's absorbed into the ground, you pile up on top of that. Why aren't the two cases comparable? So hatam b'rishimo nikar. In the case where the blood was absorbed into the ground, there was still a marking, there was still a semblance of that blood on the surface. So that semblance of the blood, that's what you have to cover. And then kisau ruach means totally covered, that it's not exposed that whatsoever anymore. So there's nothing for you to put the dirt or the afar over until it's re-exposed. Dam shnitarei b'mayim. This mission should be familiar to us. We had it in Menachot and in Tzvachim. We had a dam shnitarei b'mayim. Blood that gets mixed up with water. Im yesh bo marit dam, still has appearance of blood, chayav lechasot, then you still chayav to do kisui adam. Itarei b'yayin, if it got mixed up with wine, which is red, we look at the wine as if it is water, and when the wine is watered, would the marit dam be apparent there? Nitarei b'dam be'ima, got mixed up with the dam be'ima, which the dam be'ima is patur mi kisui adam. So again, there, we will look at it as being water. What do you mean, b'dam chaya? Dam chaya is chaya in kisui. What does it matter if it gets mixed up with dam chaya? The answer being is, Rashi says over here, b'dam heke shel chaya. It's not the dam and nefesh, and we'll see at the end of today's daf, but for the Mishnah, there's actually a machloket about which part of the dam or how much of the dam you have to actually do kisui adam with. So here, it seems to be that there's a portion of the dam chaya that you don't have to do kisui, and that's what it got mixed up with. Again, we know toki lihein mayin. We look at them as if they are water, and since they are water, would the red appearance of the dam that is chayav be apparent in that water? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ein dam mevatel dam, this is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda we've seen many times, that the quantity of blood, if it's another blood, we're talking about min b'mino is not batel, and therefore if it's ein dam mevatel dam, no matter how little dam of dam chayav you have there, you're still going to be obligated in kisui adam because it doesn't disappear. Dam anitaz v'shal sakin chayav dechasot. Blood that's found on the knife, or blood that squirts out of the area where he's shechting, he still has to do kisui adam with it. Amar Yehuda, ematai. When is that true? Bizman shein dam elahu. There's no other dam besides that dam. Aval yesham dam shelohu. If there's dam besides this dam, patur melechasot. Then you have to do kisui adam. I mean, if you have no other blood, then that blood becomes the mitzvah of doing kisui adam. But if you can perform the mitzvah of kisui adam with other dam, then you don't have to worry about this dam, and you do the mitzvah with the other dam. Okay, it's not hotam. We have a mishnah over there, being in Tzvachim, we saw it in Menachot. Dam shnitarei b'mayim yesh bo marit dam kasher. Again, this is the dam to put on the mizbeach. This is a korban. You need the dam to be machshir the korban. So if that dam fell into water, if it has the appearance of dam, then it's still kasher. Same thing as our Mishnah. If it falls into wine, we look at the wine as if it was water and determine whether we would have the red would be visible, the dam would be visible in that water. Nitarei b'dam be'ima o b'dam chaya. Over here, it's mixed up with the dam be'ima chulin or a dam chaya, which is always chulin. If it got mixed up with their blood, or nitoki ilhu mayim. We look at, again, whether the blood of the chaya or the blood of the be'ima was water, and whether the blood here would have appearance in this or not. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, in dam bevatel dam, Rabbi Yehuda Shittato, again says that, b'min b'mino, there is no telut. Since it's not b'teila, b'min b'mino, no matter how little dam of dam behemat kodshim that you have in there, as long as there's some, you could use that because it's not nizbatel, and you can use that dam to be zorek al gabei ha-mizbeach. Alright, now, Amar Rabbi Chir Baava, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, here comes the qualification. Lo shanu elish naflu mayim letoch dam. This is only true if the water fell into the dam. Aval nata fal dam letoch mayim. If the blood fell into the water, rishon batel. As it falls into the water, it's nitbatel. Meaning, if water falls into the dam, then you can say, okay, that the water itself could be mevatel the dam. But over here, where you have chulin or something else there that's going to be vatel this item, then as it goes in drip by drip, it's going to be nitbatel as it falls in.
Even if it's
has marit dam, it's not going to matter because it was already batel before it got to the point where it reached the level of marit dam. How far that goes, we saw there was a machloket Rashi and Tosafot. You remember about whether that is endless, meaning that it doesn't matter how much that goes in, it's always rishon batel. Or does it go up to 60 to 1, or is it up to rov? I mean, is there a cap to this idea of rishon batel? Is there a chozer v'niur once you reach a level where it's so big that it overwhelms the other item? And also we talked about there, it can't be a kiluach, it has to be something that falls, slowly drips in. Amar papa, ulinyan kisui eno kain. By kisui adam, that's not true, we don't say rishon batel, because ain't di chui etzel mitzvot. There is no tichuya etzel mitzvot, and over here we're talking about a mitzvah. By the zrika the dam, that's a matir, put it on the mizbeach. So over there we say rishon batel. But over here when we're talking about doing the mitzvah of kisui adam, we just saw before that the conclusion that ain't tichuya etzel mitzvot, when the ruach covered it up and then it was opened again, we saw that Rav Papa says that there is no dichoy, it's a mitzvot. So it's over here, right? Kisya dam, no dichoy, it's a mitzvot. So even though it was dropping in and beating it to batel, once it becomes apparent again in this water, if it's chozer v'neyur, because there's no dichoy ha mitzvot. Tzemer Yehuda Meshmo, kol mare ad mumit michaprim. Any red appearance, any color of red is michaper, umachshirin. It's also machshir, it's a liquid that can be machshir. V'chayavin b'kisui. And you'll be obligated to do kisui adam. Where it says, Maika Mashkoman. What's he telling us? These are all Mishnayot. It says, Michaprim Tanina. We already had that. We just brought down. We just quoted that Mishnah. That when it comes to kisui adam, that it has to be, the red has to be apparent in the water in order for it to be efficacious in doing the kapara. In terms of chayavim b'kisui, Tanina. That's our Mishnah right here. It's our Mishnah that we're learning right now. That it has to have the appearance of blood in order for you to be obligated in kisui adam. Machshirim itzrichale. We need it to be. Tell us about that. It's machshir. It says machshirin nami idam achshuri machshir. If it's dam, I mean, there are only two choices here. Either what you have here is batel and it's all water, or it's not batel and it's a classification of dam. If it's dam, achshuri machshir. Imaya anami machshuri achshuri machshir. I mean, it doesn't matter. Either dam or water are both machshirim. They're both liquids that are machshir. So it should be irrelevant to us whether we have water here or we have dam. Lo tzricha shetmado b'meg shamim. He diluted it in rainwater. So maybe rainwater is different. The difference between rainwater and other liquids is by other liquids they're automatically machshir. By rainwater we need him to be kiyutan. It has to be something that you want the liquid. You have to indicate some preference for the liquid or some desire for this liquid in order to become a machshir. So here he diluted it with meg shamim. If it was blood, then it would be makshir. If it's meg shamim, it would not be makshir because you have to give some sort of tacit approval to this meg shamim before it does. Where it says, meg shamim, kevan, deshokel, verami, achshavinu. So he says, wait a minute. If he's putting them together, that he diluted the blood in meg shamim, he's already indicating that he wants the meg shamim. So there's nothing to talk about. They're both liquids now. Lo, tzricha shenit midu me'elihem. know, the rainwater fell into the blood by itself. He didn't pour it in, but it happened by itself. So over here, now he doesn't have this kiutan, kiten kiutan, that he doesn't have this approval of this being a liquid yet. He's not telling us that he's happy with the circumstance. Since he hasn't told us that, the outcome will be different. If it's dam, then it would have a din of makshir. If it is water, I mean, if it's meg shamim, it would not have a din of makshir. And that's what we're talking about here. Vasi minar vilomer, that the case here is bitzlauta de dama. Talking about here, it's like the tzel, the shadow of the blood. As Rashi says over here, it's the thin liquid of the blood. When the blood, for instance, coagulates, there's a thinner liquid that is left over afterwards, after the blood coagulates. That's what we're talking about over here. So that's what he's talking about. That water is makshir. Not just the blood itself, but also that residual liquid or thin liquid that surrounds the blood, that's also makshir. Rabbi Yirmiyah midifti amar anush karet. When we're talking about that salalta de dama, it has a punishment of karet. If you drink it, if you eat it, it has a punishment of karet. Vahu dika kazayit. That as long as it has a kazayit. Now Rashi points out right here, it's not so clear from the Gemara, what is a kazayit here? What has a kazayit? So it seems to be that the kazayit here is referencing the original blood. The blood that created this salalta de dama had a kazayit worth of coagulation that made it. The other way you could read it is that vehika kazayit means that the tzlalta de dama equals a kazayit. Those are the two possibilities. But with nitza tano, in a braita we learned, mit tamim ba'ohel, not only a yechayv karet, but it also qualifies for revi'at dam to be mitame ba'ohel, b'hu de'ika revi'at. That's as long as there's a revi'at worth of dam in this tzlalta de dama, it has to be a revi'at of dam in order to qualify, because as the Mishnah tells us in Olot, that a revi'at adam is what makes something tamei bo'el. So it's over here. If you have a revi'at work the tzlalta of the damo, Rashi and Tosafot say this is all talking about the tzlalta of the damo. If you have a revi'at of it, then you would be mitamei bo'el. So now we have Tanan Hotam. There is no such Mishnah. It's actually a Tosefta. And you can see Tosafot says that v'nira de braitohi, that it is a braita, and therefore the girsa here should be de tanyo. That we tznan hatam or tanyo, that kol mashke hamet tohorim chutz midamo. All liquids that are expelled by the mate are tahor, except for his blood. V'chol mareh ad mumit shebo mitamim bohel. And any redness that comes or discharged by the mate is mitamim bohel. So this brayta supports what we just said before, that when any appearance of red will be mitamim bohel, like this tzalalta de damo, as long as there is a revi'at involved. Now the Gemara is going to challenge this idea of that mashka mate is tohorim. Any liquid that is discharged by the mate is tohor. Tosfot asks a basic question about this. What do you mean, any liquid discharged by the mate is tohor? The liquid, on its way to being discharged, comes into contact with the mate. If it comes into the contact with the mate, then it's no worse than being negiat a mate, or being touched by a mate. So, how could you ever have a mashkeh that is discharged by the mate that is tahor? So he answers, it was done when it came out through a tube. There was a tube of some sort that released whatever this liquid was, and therefore the liquid was released without coming into contact with the mate. Since they come into contact with a mate, it remains tahor because there is no negiyah to mate, unless there had been some sort of takanat or gzerat chachamim, which we're going to see in a second, which is reminhu. Mashkeh hamet tahorim is reminhu. We have a Mishnah in Tvu Yom that says, Mashke Tvu Yom, Ki Mashkim Shenogea Behen. Any liquid that comes out of a Tvu Yom is, or has, the similar status to any liquid that is touched by a Tvu Yom. Ve'elu ve'elu ein mitamim. And neither of these are mitameh. Now, what this is talking about is a very difficult explanation in the Mishnah in Tvu Yom, because ein mitamim is obvious. A Tvu Yom is a sheni of the Tumah. If we were discussing over here Mashke Chulin, it's obvious that there is no Tumah, because a Tvu Yom was a sheni of the Tumah that touches a Chulin. There's no relevance of Shlishi the Tumah in Chulin. So if it says Elu Mitamim, that seems to be very basic. It seems to be obvious that that's the case, that Elu Velu Ein Mitamim, because a Tvu Yom has no impact on Mashke Chulin. And therefore, Tosafot and some of the other explanations that are given of this Mishnah says that we must be talking over here about a case of Mashke Truma. That we're not talking about a case where he touches a Mashke of Chulin, but rather a case where he touches a Mashke of Truma. And he's only posel the mashkeh of truma, because the mashkeh of truma is a shlishi, and therefore the tevul yom is a sheni, is only posel the truma, he does not make it into, there's no gzeira of making it into tchila, making it into a rishon l'tumah anymore, and therefore it would have more impact on the truma than just being posel it. And that's what it means, elu v'eloim etamim po, is that the mashkeh shel truma will only come a shlishi and nothing else. Tosafot points out that it can't be a mashkeh of kodashim, because in kodashim it actually would become a tchila, or at least it would be considered or classified as a rishon l'tumah, and would make a sheni in kodashim, which would have further impact. So because of that, Tosafot concludes that we must be talking about a mashkeh of truma here for this mishnah to have relevance, and saying elu v'elu ein mitamim. Whereas some of the other mafreshim say it's talking about chulin, and the mishnah is just keeping the parallel structure that it uses in the next cases. But there is no chiddush taught here. There are other dayot in the Mishnah Tevul Yom that actually changed the girsa to ve'elu ve'elu ein mitame'in. Not that they are mitamim, that mitame others, but mitamim, they're not mikabel tuma. That these things that exit the Tevul Yom are not classified as mashkim, and therefore they are not mikabel tuma. So just in summary, there are three ways to learn this elu ve'elu ein mitamim over here. One is to say, it's talking about chulin, and therefore, of course, it's not mitameh, because it's not relevant in chulin. The other way is to learn, like the Tosafot does, or suggests over here, that we're talking about mashkim shel truma. And since by mashkim shel truma, it makes a shlishi, which is considered to be posel, because a shlishi will not make a revi in truma. Therefore, it's posel, but not mitameh. But we're talking about liquids of truma, not liquids of chulin, even though they're not mentioned anywhere in this mishnah. But he says you have to say that, otherwise it's, why is it relevant to say elu v'elu ein mitamim? And the third explanation is, if you have a girsa of elu v'elu ein mitame'im, means that they do not accept tuma, but even though they, and of course they don't project tuma, because they are not classified as liquids. Those are the three ways to learn the Mishnah in Tevul Yom. More important to us is, v'shar kol ha'tme'im, ben kalim v'ben chamurim, all other tme'im, whether they are light forms of tuva, or more chamur, more stringent forms of tuma, mashkim ha'yotzim me'em k'mashkeh ha'nogeh b'hem. Any liquids discharged by them are similar to a liquid touched by them. Ve'elu ve'elu tchila, and they both become a rishon l'tuma. Chutz min ha'meshkeh shu ava tuma, excluding those items that are classified as an ava tuma. So that's the mishnah. Now the Gemara wants to know, my klin u'may chamurin. What are light forms of tuma? What are stringent forms of tuma? My love, kalin, light forms of tuma are sheretz and azav, and chamurim are the mate. And what do you see from here? That Mishnah is indicating that mashkeh that is discharged from a mate is as if he touched it. Yet we have the Tosefta we just brought down that says mashkeh mate tehorim, that any discharge, liquid discharge from the mate is actually tahor. So how do we reconcile between the Mishnah and Tevul Yom and the Braita that we brought before? So when it says, lo, you misunderstood. Kalim, which light forms of tuma, is tumat sheretz. Chamurim is tumat zav. And that's how we explain the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about a zav and not a mate. So therefore, when it comes to kalim, when it comes to sheretz, any liquid that is discharged by the sheretz has the same din as if the sheretz itself touched it. And by a zav, the same thing. Any liquid discharged by the zav will have the same status as the zav himself, and will have the same status as if the zav touched it, except for those items that are avatuma. And those are the areas that are mayanot hazav, which is zovo, roko, meme, raglav. For instance, by a zav, his actual discharge, his zav discharge, his spit, his saliva, meme or grime, his urine, and the shigvat zera shekol adam, this is applicable not just to a zav, but the shigvat zera of any person, since those are liquids that come out of a mayan, a constant flow, these liquids create a constant flow, they have a din of an avatuma, when they're discharged, they have a din of avatuma, even by a zav. By a zav, when those liquids are discharged, they will be an avatuma. So therefore, that's the exception. Those liquids are an avatuma. Any other liquid that is discharged by the zav will be classified under this takanat chamim, gzeret chamim, that has the same status as if he touched it. Again, Tosfot qualifies that, of course, it has to be as if he touched it, because when it comes out of him, he touched it. But rather, it's even when a case where it was taken out by a pipe of some sort, where he didn't come into physical contact with the liquid, nevertheless, it will have the status as if he touched it. And we're talking about here liquids that are like your tears, or the milk of a woman. Those are types of liquids that we're discussing over here that are not included in those liquids that are called avatuma. Now the Gemara wants to know, Maishna zav de gazru be rabbanu, Maishna meit de lo gazru be rabbanu. So the Mishnah is indicating by the zav, they were gozer on his liquids, that any liquid that is discharged has a din of tuma. Whereas by the mate, they weren't gozer. Why? Zav, delo b'dile in sheminei. It comes to a zav, as Rashi says, the zav's alive. He's somebody that interacts with other people. He has social interactions, and people don't separate from him. So gozer b'dile rabbanon. Therefore, the rabbanon were gozer when it came to the zav. Mate, the b'dile in sheminei. Person is dead. People don't spend a lot of time with cadavers and with dead bodies. Therefore, lo gozer rabbanon. They didn't feel that it was necessary to create a gezerah to rabbanon over here. So now we get to the last part of the Mishnah. Dama nitaz b'sha'al sakin. The blood that shot out of the area where he did the shechita, and that which was found on a sakin. Tan rabbanan. V'chisau. B'lameid sh'dama nitaz b'sha'al sakin chayav v'chasot. Chisau says you got to cover all the blood. Amar Rabbi Yehuda imatai. When's that true? B'zman shein sham dam. Elohu. There's no other blood besides it. Avish sham dam shlohu. If there's other blood besides that which is found on the knife or shot out of the area, patur min lechasot, then he doesn't do kisui on that, he'll do kisui on the other dam. Tanya idoch, we have another bright that says, v'kisau malamech, kol damo chayav lechasot. You have to cover all the blood. Mikamaru, damani taz v'shala gafayim, blood that squirted away, or shala gafayim means on the beit hashkita, around the areas of the skin by the beit hashkita, chayav lechasot. You have to cover all of that blood. You have to cover all blood of the animal. All of that requires kisui adam. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, b'med, v'ayimamayimunza, tush lo kisui dam ha-nefesh. That's if he didn't cover up the dam ha-nefesh. Aval kisa dam ha-nefesh, patum lechasot. The only requirement of kisui adam is by dam ha-nefesh. B'mayka miflige. What's their machloket over here? It seems to be a three-way machloket, which the Gemara is going to describe right now. Rabbanan savre damo kol damo. The Rabbanan believe that when it comes to damo, it means all blood. Now the Rabbanan over here, and I'll point this out in Tosfot later, are the Rabbanan of Tani Idach. The Tana Kam of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel are the ones that say you have to cover all blood. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, damo, fafila mitzak damo. Damo, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is damo, but not all damo. Even a portion of the blood is sufficient. Therefore, if you've done kisei adam, you don't require to take off the blood on the sakin or that was nitaz. If you have nothing else, then you got to do that because you need at least mix of the dam b'kisei adam. Rav Shimon Gamliel sabar damo hamiuchad. Damo, and the pasuk means et damo means damo miuchad, special dam which is dam nefesh. So they're all darshaning et damo. Rav means et damo means kol damo. Rabbi Yehuda is saying et damo means mixat damo, afilu mixat damo. Rav Shimon Gamliel says damo is damo miuchad, which is dam nefesh. So it's a three-way machloket. Tosfot points out over here that in general, when Rabbi Yehuda says ematai in a Mishnah, it means that he's qualifying the Mishnah. He's not arguing, but qualifying. Yet over here, we see today that Rabbi Yehuda is arguing on the Tana Kama. So first of all, Tosfot points out that that's only a principle in a Mishnah. It's not true in a Braita. And we're talking about a Braita over here. So the ematai of Rabbi Yehuda could be arguing over here. That's number one. Number two is that the Tosfos had a girsa where they didn't have a Tanya Idach. They didn't necessarily have another Braita over here. And therefore, when he was talking about the Rabbanan, he thought it was the Tana Kama of the Rabbi Yehuda. The Tana Kama of Rabbi Yehuda was the Rabbanan, then Rabbi Yehuda, and then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Because it seemed to me it was all one big Braita. But based on the girsa that we have, in this alternative girsa where there's Tanya Idach, there's a second Braita, there are actually two Tana Kamas. There's the Tana Kama of Rabbi Yehuda, and the Tana Kama of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and therefore the Rabbanan that we're referring to right now is not the Tana Kama of Rabbi Yehuda, rather the Tana Kama of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and the Tana Kama and Rabbi Yehuda will agree, because Rabbi Yehuda is coming to qualify that Tana Kama, not disagree with that Tana Kama. But, v'mer Rabbi Tainim, t'halcha alocha ki Rabbi Yehuda, that the alocha is like Rabbi Yehuda, dimatnita an kavatei atya. Our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, because our Mishnah says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, ma'imetai, zman shein sham dam. And over there, when Rabbi Yehuda uses the ematai in a Mishnah, we know that Rabbi Yehuda is not arguing, but qualifying. So even if you suggest over here that the ematai in the Braita, Rabbi Yehuda is arguing on the Tana Kama, nevertheless, from our Mishnah, the ematai in our Mishnah will say that Rabbi Yehuda is not arguing on the Tana Kama of the Mishnah. That means that the Stam Mishnah over here is like Rabbi Yehuda. This Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, we'll pass him like Rabbi Yehuda, neged the other two deyot over here. So even though the Braita would suggest Rabbi Yehuda is arguing, our Mishnah suggests otherwise. Unless you come to the girsa that we have, that the Yesh Farim de Garsi bebraita kamaita v'chiso, l'meji damini tezaz v'shalag yifayim chayav v'chasot, am Rabbi Yehuda. Tanya Idoch v'chisau, which is what we have, that second gears of Tanya Idoch, that there's a second Braita, then you can even reconcile between the Braita and the Mishnah, say both of them, Rabbi Yehuda is qualifying the Tanakama, not arguing, and the Rabbanan are the Tanakama of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Okay, we'll stop over here.